You sit there and you thump your Bible and you say your prayers and it didn't get you anywhere. You talk about your Psalms, you talk about your John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whooped your ass. I don't care what the card says. You're listening to Take Two Takedown with your host John and Craig. And that's the bottom line, because Stone's Cold said so. Give me a hell yeah.
Welcome, folks. Take Two Takedown, Episode 6, the go-home shows before Survivor Series, and, if you can't tell, our first road show.
Yeah. And Craig, do you want to tell them what a go-home show is?
We probably should, for those who don't know, but the go-home shows are the TV events that occur the week before a pay-per-view, such as Survivor Series is going to be this weekend. So the Raw and the SmackDown were all in preparation for these big pay-per-view events that are going to be happening this weekend.
For such a dumb SmackDown fan, that is a very good definition.
Well, you know, sometimes I have to break things down for slow Raw fans such as yourself, so it makes it a little easier for me.
So I see this is a continuation of last week where you prove how dumb you are.
Well, alrighty, we are off to the wrong foot, as to be expected when we're stuck on the road together.
I tell you what.
Yeah?
Let's change it up a little bit.
Okay.
We'll make it a little different.
I like change.
Okay. Something you and I can both agree on.
Mm-hmm.
Local wrestling.
Local wrestling. We do love local wrestling.
We'll take it there because obviously Raw and SmackDown will be a sore spot. And heaven knows what's going to come out of our predictions.
Who knows? But I do know one thing. SmackDown's better. But let's get into Right Coast Pro. This following weekend, it was their wrestling,
son of a bitch,
Wrestling for Kicks event, Kirkwood Soccer Club, to raise money for them to buy new goals. And they had another event of Big Gene Snitsky against our favorite wrestler,
Harry M. Baldwin.
Harry M. Baldwin, definition of a ring technician, where he was going to get his belt back this time.
Yeah, I mean, this is a title defense.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm very disappointed that Baldwin didn't step up. Yeah. Snitsky kept the belt.
He retains the title.
I'm not a fan of that.
You know what else I'm not a fan of?
Yes, please tell me.
The Contractors. One of our favorite
right.
tag team groups.
Agreed.
Contractor number one lost to Luchador Orange Ocho.
That doesn't even make sense.
There's like 8 orange luchadors?
Yeah, I don't even understand that.
So I believe Right Coast Pro has set something against our favorite team, the Contractors.
Right, because obviously they have something against the Jason Wilson Experience. Because he's the one that runs those Contractors.
Well, I mean, he's pretty much the greatest of all time.
He is. He is. And he runs those Contractors well, and still they end up losing. Obviously, this is some sort of conspiracy.
Has to be.
Is it? But let us know what you think. If you are a fan of Right Coast Pro, please, you can let us know on Twitter, at Take2Takedown. You can email us at Take2Takedown@gmail.com. And let us know what you think about Right Coast Pro, because they have another event coming up.
Hey, Craig, how are we spelling the word two?
We spell it with two O's, T-O-O.
So that's Take Two with two O's, takedown,
right,
at gmail.com.
Yep, because we want to see your O face.
We put the O's in the O face.
We do. So let us know what you think about these local events, if you've been to any of them, how you like them, that sort of stuff. Because there's another one coming up on December 9th.
I agree. Now, the one thing we do have in the bunker, it's guys, gals, anyone in between. The bunker right now is set up for war. One side is blue, one side is red. I'm rocking a red recliner. You've got your grossed out Shane McMahon cutout.
I mean,
the only thing that separates us that we can agree on right now is the Right Coast promo poster for their next event, which is
Strange Happenings.
Yes.
And the reason we like Strange Happenings is their annual event with strange and unusual conditions and stipulations for these fights.
So it should be not only a slobber knocker, but very unique and entertaining.
Very unique. I don't know about you. I'm hoping for chainsaws.
Chainsaws will be glorious. Mm. I am thinking ice picks and hamburgers.
Ooh, I like it. I like where your mind's at.
I don't know where the combination works, but it sounds delicious.
It'll work, and if anyone can make it work, it's Right Coast Pro.
Absolutely.
All right, so I guess we should get into our
greatest show.
No, we're going to talk about Raw first.
The greatest show,
right.
Raw.
No.
Raw. All right. 25 years,
right.
Craig. 25
right.
years of awesome.
25 years of stretching 1 hour of wrestling into 3 hours. So,
25 years of fucking greatness.
All right, let's talk about this fucking greatness that you all had.
Show opens up in an amazing stunner. Guess who comes out?
I don't know.
Shield comes out. Guess who's with him? That's right. Your boy, Roman Reigns.
Well, yes.
Your boy, yes. Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. The Shield is complete. They are whole. They come down to the ring. They apologize. Because Kurt Angle is getting a Raw deal.
He is. I will agree with that. And I'm glad that the Shield is back together. And that Roman Reigns is over his mono or whatever it was he had.
I think him and Bray Wyatt had like... the kissing
distance. Right. Well, we won't discuss how. That's rumors we don't need to discuss.
Anyway, so they're in there. Shield is stepping up. They're like, we are disgusted with the New Day.
Yes.
Their second invasion. Mm-hmm. These clowns. Mm-hmm. These ass clowns.
Yep.
Coming in and ruining our match and us losing our belts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then...
as it should be.
And then who comes out? None other than the beautiful queen of WWE. Not Charlotte.
No.
She is the queen. But Stephanie McMahon.
We do love us some Stephanie McMahon. I think it's another point we can both agree on.
Amen, brother. Mm-hmm. So she comes out, knee-high boots, just looking phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
And she is on, and her game is on. She's mad at Kurt Angle. How dare I pick such a loser for GM? You pick your loser! Son. You pick your son when they bring in John Cena on, what is it, Crackdown? Crack-ho?
SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. Mm. That skid mark of an entertainment brand. I fucking hate you.
Please continue. Continue.
Little whispered cusses under your breath are going to get you smacked.
SmackDown?
I will lay the smacketh down on you.
The smacketh down?
Yep. People's elbow. Mm-hmm. Eyebrow raised and all.
We'll see.
All right.
Let's continue.
Anyway. So Stephanie McMahon's out there just berating Kurt Angle, saying, you are so dumb, I can't believe you.
Which is fun to watch, I'll admit that.
Yeah, well, I kind of liked it too. But anyway, this leads us into the Hounds of Justice facing the Unicorns.
Mm-hmm. Right, the awesome Unicorns.
Of WWE.
Right.
I will let you get into what the Unicorns talk about the Hounds of Justice in the SmackDown intro.
Right.
But...
right.
I don't know about you, Craig. I'm looking forward to this. It's about time SmackDown got taught a lesson. SmackDown has been too big for its britches these last couple of shows, invading Raw, ruining the entertainment that it is by their shilly shenanigans.
Shilly shenanigans of Under Siege.
That's so stupid. Hashtag Under Siege.
Yep.
But, we'll get into it when we go into SmackDown.
Don't worry about it. We'll talk about that when it happens.
Raw makes it right.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we go through all that great stuff, and then we get a Bayley match.
Oh, a Bayley match. A Bayley match is always fun.
It's a three-way. It's Bayley against Mickey James and Dana Brooke. And listen, Mickey James, you look great. That little dream catcher?
Yeah, that was... I don't know what that was going for, but...
Well,
yeah,
I mean, she has been recognized by the American Indian...
Oh, that is right. Yeah. That is right, yes.
So she's representing her culture, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Plus, I like me some Mickey James. Yeah. I liked her better back when, but she's still okay now.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know about you, but watching Dana Brooke do that front no-hand flip on her intro into the pose, I always love that.
That is pretty impressive.
I wish they would give her more of a push, but...
Yeah, they did for a while, and then it just sort of stopped.
So anyway... we all know how this is going to end up. Bayley is fighting for the last spot on the five-woman team. Mm-hmm. And we know she's going to get it because it's Bayley.
It's Bayley and everybody loves Bayley.
So she wins and all that. But what happens?
What?
Dana Brooks gets a little big for her britches.
She does.
And shall we dare say, gets in the face of Asuka?
Yeah. And yeah, which was not...
Asuka? Asuka.
Asuka. Gets in the face of Asuka, which I think we both can also agree on, I would never do.
No.
And I don't think you would ever do either.
Asuka drops her with a straight foot to the face.
Straight foot to the face!
Which distracts Mickey James. Bayley gets the pin. We're good to go.
Yep. And we knew that that's what would happen with Bayley winning, but how it happened, at least semi-interesting.
So, then we get into a cruiserweight match. It's Enzo and Gulag... versus Kalisto and Tozawa. I'm a big Kalisto Tozawa fan over Enzo and Gulak, but I kind of like the little shtick they're going with like the ultimate bad side of Enzo and Gulak.
Yeah.
And then the ultimate nice guy side of Kalisto and Tozawa. Mm. I mean, it is Kalisto's birthday, and they had the big celebration on 205.
That is true. But it's still hard for me to get into 205. Like, I just it doesn't have the same pull to me as the rest of a Raw episode.
Yeah, so Enzo and Gulak wind up winning this, and, you know, it carries the storyline through. I don't know where they're going with it, but Enzo, like, I love watching his shoe watch.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. But I'm getting tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm becoming a little hater.
A little hater.
Got a little cup of hater. Little cup of hate.
Little cup of hater.
So now we get into the big, you know, story where Kurt Angle's son, Jason Jordan, has to prove himself that he's worthy of being the fifth member of the team.
Right. Prove it to his dad.
Who do they put him up against? The Eater of Worlds, your boy, yes. Bray Wyatt.
I do love me some Bray
Wyatt. Oh, I love me some Bray Wyatt, too.
I do love me some Bray Wyatt, especially against somebody squeaky clean nice.
Yep.
Like, it makes him so much more evil.
And he comes out, and he is very evil in this match. He's just beating up on Jason Jordan.
Yes.
Jason Jordan gets the upper hand, but, I mean, Bray Wyatt is destroying this kid's knee.
Yep. Yep.
To the point where Jason Jordan wins the match, but is in the back with his knee all taped up. And we don't know. Is he going to be okay?
Who knows?
Is he going to be okay for that five-man match?
Who knows? What will his dad do?
Who knows?
What will he do?
But this all leads in to one of the greatest, greatest presentations in Heyman's career.
That's going a little far.
Oh, come on. Anything Heyman does is...
I mean, anything Heyman does is pretty spectacular.
You and I could listen to him read the back of a woman's tampon box.
That is very true. That is very true.
And love every word of it.
That is very true. You know that kid book, Go the Fuck to Sleep?
Yeah.
If I could get Paul Heyman reading that book, that would just be a treasure for me. I'd listen to it every night.
So, he goes into this whole thing about a list of five of what's going to happen to AJ Styles in this match. And, of course, number five is the F5. And we all know that Brock Lesnar is going to destroy your little pretty boy, soccer mom hair, AJ Styles, as he dances out with his little fancy-dancy gloves and hopes that he can outlast the Beast.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll discuss that.
No, we're going to discuss it right now.
I mean,
Brock Lesnar is taking him to Suplex City.
This is going a little far. Because we both know...
Shut your little SmackDown whore mouth.
Brock has power. Brock has strength. But the endurance is by far AJ. The heart is AJ. Brock barely cares about wrestling anymore. Raw with his bare hands. He doesn't even MMA anymore. He barely wrestles. We know AJ is going to win it.
I completely shut you off when you started speaking about the stupid shit that comes out of SmackDown. AJ Styles is nothing more than a 90s country singer with gloves.
But they're awesome gloves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. AJ Styles, there's not a chance. Like, if a Seth Rollins can't hold up to a Brock Lesnar, if a Dean Ambrose can't hold up to a Brock Lesnar, why would you think this pretty boy out of Georgia who has to tattoo his own initials on the side of his body so he knows his name, has any chance of competing against the likes of the Beast, Brock Lesnar?
Well, talent.
What?
Skill.
No.
You know, agility.
No.
I think all of those are good reasons.
It's like a gnat around a dog. It flies around and it's annoying, but eventually the dog's going to win.
Right. Unless the gnat comes in, gives it Lyme disease, dog dies.
That's
the end. End of the argument. I win.
No.
I win.
How do you win with
Lyme disease?
From a gnat.
Lyme disease.
All right. Good reach. I can see your brain teaser book isn't helping your smarts when it comes to SmackDown and the chance they have. So, we get into the next match, which is the Shield versus the Bar and the Miz. Shield.
I did enjoy this match.
Ate those fuckers alive.
They really did.
Piss out of them.
So badly.
To the point where the Miz had to run away to the crowd because he didn't want to get his ass whipped by all three.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But he winds up getting powerbombed like twice.
At least.
It was awful.
Yeah, at least. which is always fun to watch, no matter who it's to.
And then we get back in the ring, and Kurt Angle has to announce some special announcement, and he's talking about his son and the injury to his son and how he loves his son, and then all of a sudden, his son comes out all weepy, and he's like, "Dad, don't do this. It's the only chance I got."
Right. Right. And this is the show you're defending.
I'm never getting all the emotion.
This is the show you're defending.
His son was pleading, "Oh, father."
Right. And the pain.
For the chance.
The pain and constipation on Kurt Angle's face.
Constipation?
That's what it looked like. As he was trying to decide what to do. And should he let his broken son be on the team? You know,
and he's caught. He's torn between the love of his child and the responsibility of his job. And
right.
Who comes out again?
Right, someone who makes him look like a little bitch.
Our beautiful Stephanie McMahon. And she comes out and she says, "I am tired of this. You will make the decision, you will make the announcement, and you will do it now."
Right.
And Kurt Angle, as she's walking in, Kurt Angle is just standing there with the dumbest look on his face.
Right. Dumb Grandpa Kurt look.
But he's a broken father. He wants to support his son and show him that love that he needs, Craig.
Right.
What the hell are you thinking? You don't have this drama.
I mean, maybe
you got McMahon's son trying to hype the crowd. Anyway. So, Kurt Angle, torn, betwixt with this hard, hard decision.
This is the dumbest.
And what hits as soon as Stephanie goes in? It's time to play the game.
I mean,
Triple H.
This part was pretty cool.
The King of Kings. Struts.
Mm-hmm.
Just owns the fucking runway. Comes all the way down, right in Angle's face. And he goes, "If you won't make the damn decision, I will. I'm the fifth man on the team." Jordan's broke. Angle's looking at him like, "You bastard." And what does he do? Pedigree for Jason Jordan.
Yep.
Boom, lays him out. Kurt Angle standing in the middle of the ring like, "What happened?" And Triple H just storms out like, "You brought this on yourself, motherfucker." And I got to tell you, Triple H, thank you. Thank you, Vince McMahon. You got the note we left you this week, too. I mean, it is awesome living under this bunker,
dude. It really is. It really is.
So Raw ends on that note, and I can't see how your little Team Blue rah-rah spirit is going to do anything to bring us down from that.
Well, first of all, the last 20 minutes of soap opera drama that Kurt Angle and his son had was just ridiculous. So,
shut your whore mouth.
This facts. These are facts.
No, you're fat. That's a fact.
That too is a fact.
That's a fact. The emotional drama that has been built up with the position that Kurt Angle is in and trying to support his son and promote him, and the fact that he is tied to the Raw brand and he has to just live under those conditions. That's drama, man. That is, what do you got? You got Natalia,
we got drama?
You got Natalia worried about who's going to pet her kitty cats when she's wrestling.
We got blue team drama.
You ain't got no drama.
We got drama.
What do you got?
All right?
What do you got?
Let's go into SmackDown, all right? We're going to talk about drama.
I'm gonna take a little nap here because this is
just... This is ridiculous.
This is just ridiculous. Crap is what this is.
All right. SmackDown, we have the glorious Daniel Bryan come out.
Wait. You're going to just skip over...
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Shane McMahon.
I'm talking about.
The show
we're going into Daniel Bryan coming out. That's how the show started.
Let's be honest.
That's how the show started.
Your drama is this. Shane McMahon is leading the troops. They've got him all amassed in this little room, and he's like, "Hey, we're Team Blue. We're going to win. We're champions." And they're all like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Baron Corbin, you're going to win this." He's like, "Well, I don't know what the Miz is taking, but I'm going to get him." And then you got like the New Day, and they're like, "The Shield threw down a challenge, but we're the unicorns. We're going to win." How dumb do you have to be to sit there and go like, "Hey, SmackDown, we're going to rile you up by riling up our wrestlers, and our wrestlers are all ready and prepped for this big, huge match. We're not going to be the B show. We'll be the show." And it just goes to show that you could care less about SmackDown, and you know it's an inferior product because you didn't even open with that. You went to Daniel Bryan.
That part didn't happen in the show. I think you made that up.
No.
Because I didn't. No. That part didn't happen. We start with Daniel Bryan coming into the ring.
So fucking dumb.
Start with Daniel Bryan. That part did not exist. I will pretend it did not exist, therefore it did not.
Just blow it off.
All right. We start with Daniel Bryan coming in, talking about how he bleeds blue.
A lot of losers just blow that off.
Right? This is what he does. He bleeds blue. He bleeds SmackDown. This is for him. Then he brings out the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, and cuts a beautiful Paul Heyman-esque promo about his client,
AJ
Styles.
I gotta say, for Daniel Bryan, who is like everybody's best buddy.
Right, exactly.
For him to throw down the Paul Heyman-esque dialogue that he did.
Great.
I was pretty much like, hey, DB, that was pretty fucking awesome.
Yes, exactly. And he talks about how Raw added Triple H to the team because Raw's desperate. It's their 25th anniversary. They're desperate. They don't know what to do. They're grasping at fucking straws. So they pick up Triple H is not a
fucking straw. Triple H is, like, the king.
Triple H is busy. He's at home washing his tights. He doesn't even have time to practice or train or do anything.
Did you... Triple H teamed up with The Shield.
You didn't
see that?
No.
No? Triple H...
Wasn't on a Raw episode I saw.
Triple H has signed a match with Roman Reigns later on in December in Dubai.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later, but I think they're grasping at straws. I agree with Mr. Bryan.
And picking up John Cena.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
John Cena.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The You Can't See Me.
Yep.
That's not a straw.
If you tell me that when we were sitting here and we watched those tap out commercials and John Cena does that back squat with, I don't know, 900 pounds on there, you're not impressed. Well, then I know you're lying.
Well, okay.
There's so many weights on there that go past the screen.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, fine. See? All right. And then we get into one Mr. Baron Corbin fighting against his friend Sin Cara. It's great.
I gotta admit, I love the match. I love the little thing between him and Sin Cara. Yes. Like, it is like a fight.
It is. Legitimately, I feel that there's real tension between them.
I will give SmackDown this. In this match, they really played Baron Corbin up, let him be the thug, beat your ass heel that he was. They let Sin Cara get his hits in, and it was great. But end all be all, we knew that Baron Corbin was going to carry this match and walk into Survivor Series with the belt.
From
the back and forth that's going between him and The Miz.
Him and The Miz. You knew that's what was going to happen.
But
so.
I really, really do appreciate that SmackDown would give Sin Cara this push. And not only give him the push, but, I mean, make it believable. Because SmackDown has really, really god-awful
I don't even like time what you're trying to say.
With developing their talent. They get the latest flash in the pan.
What?
And AJ Styles.
What?
Little flash in the pan, and they just are like, hey, let's show him off. But I think our boys, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, have got it locked down. The only people that get the opportunity are whoever Shane and Daniel like at the time.
Right. Well, you know what? Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are awesome, and they're on SmackDown.
Yeah. So, I'm wearing my Sami Zayn hat right now.
Yep, exactly. As you always should be. It's beautiful.
It's a good one.
We start video podcasting, this is going to be awesome.
It's going to be on.
Mm-hmm. And then we get into, which I will say was followed up by another good match, which was the Women's Championship for SmackDown. Charlotte Flair against Natalya.
All right, let me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see a title change here?
I think I did. I mean, it was the SmackDown took place in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Where she's from.
Hometown.
She dedicated the match to her father.
To her dad.
So we kind of just knew that this probably was going to happen.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you want to get into the match now, or we got to talk about it? The 30-on-30 on Ric Flair?
I think let's talk about the match, and then we'll move into the 30-on-30 because of how the match ended.
You know what? Maybe the 30-on-30, because I know we both agree on this.
Yes.
We'll simmer us down a little bit.
Because right now, I'm ready to punch your fat face.
I will kick you in the spleen.
This is really hostile. So let's talk about a good match. Let's talk about a good documentary.
Fucking magic. Right?
And see if you can get your panties out of a bunch.
Oh,
all right.
How do you know I'm wearing panties?
Well, you know. Just took a guess.
It's a 9 to 10 odds.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, let's talk about the match.
So, we had the match, which I think we both agreed, very good match.
Excellent match. And this is what we keep talking about with the women's thing. It's like, you can have really good matches.
Yeah.
And then you have these crap matches.
Yes.
There's no, there
was a decent match. It's either crap or really good.
But, I mean, Charlotte and Natalya are both working it, selling it.
Yes.
And just owning every strike and every... It was a really, really good match.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
I completely agree. And like we suspected would happen, title change.
Yep.
So if Flair walks away with the belt, Flair will be going on to Survivor Series.
Which, I gotta admit, as much as I like Alexa Bliss and I like the whole goddess shtick and all that, I kind of want Charlotte to win, and it's more of a greedy thing, not because Charlotte is absolutely beautiful. She's no Becky Lynch, though. I love you, Becky Lynch. It's more so because of everything I've just, like, I'm in full-on Ric Flair, Nature Boy mode. So
I agree.
To win the title one more time because, in my opinion, and this is just a humble opinion of a podcaster on wrestling, I don't think Ric Flair is long for this world.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Crazy days are catching up
to him. Agree with that. And I admit, I like the little tiny promo that Charlotte did after winning where she says, you know, before there was a goddess of Raw, there was a queen.
And you will bow to
the
queen.
And you will bow to the queen. Like, that was good.
I do like
that. That was good. And then Charlotte walks out, and as I think we kind of had a feeling, just because it was local, that he might show up. And the music starts playing.
The Nature was there.
And the actual Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, comes out. Looking not especially great. He's aging quickly, I feel,
unfortunately. That's why I say I don't think he's long for this
unfortunately.
World.
Unfortunately. But I think this can get us into the ESPN 30 for 30 on Ric Flair, which I know we both watched.
Do you want to finish spreading your manure of SmackDown, or do you want to get into it now?
Let's calm you down before I have to smack your whore mouth.
All right? Something
we both like.
After a dickhole comment like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we better.
All right.
Okay.
All right. All right. 30 for 30, Ric Flair, which... It was, what, an hour, basically?
Yeah, an hour and a half.
And while I knew, and I think both of us knew, most of the story of Ric Flair, seeing it actually all laid out, and the way that they did it, interviews, a little bit of animation even, clips, photos, like, I think they did it really well.
Yeah, I mean, we get some of the, like, funny road stories about what he did as he was coming up, and we get, you know, expert commentary on him, and then we delve into him. Like, he opens up and just lets us know, like, he says, I wasn't the best father.
Yeah.
I wasn't the best husband. He goes, all I wanted to be really in my life was the best wrestler.
Right, and he admits from, like, basically, like, 72 to, like, mid-90s, he was like, I wasn't home.
Yeah.
Just at all. Like, he would go home for, like, a week and then be, like, bouncing off the walls by, like, 2 days.
I think... In that documentary, there were two defining moments for me.
Yes, and I think we both agree what those are. But
So the very first one is they were talking to an ESPN sports commentator, and they were talking about, like, watching wrestling in the 80s. And they said, you know, what's the difference between Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, Hulk Hogan, I didn't really buy. Like, he was this otherworldly superhero type character,
yes,
that was fun to watch as a kid, but you could never be him.
No, he was the all-American, like, Superman.
Yeah. But Ric Flair was that guy everyone wanted to be. He was spending money, doing his thing, calling out people, being a jackass.
Yeah.
But he backed it up in the ring, and he was selling, and everybody wanted to be Ric Flair.
Everybody.
And I think even to this day, if you had to say, who would you rather be, Hulk Hogan or Ric Flair? Everybody wanted to be Ric Flair.
Yes, and they interview people about this. Snoop Dogg, they talk about how, you know, he talks about how people want, you know, the limos, the minks, like, you know, the glasses, the women.
Limousine ride.
Exactly.
Gators can't be held down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he spoke to everyone during that decade, like... You either wanted to emulate him or you hated him for being the thing you weren't.
Yes, yes.
So that was one big moment. I'm like, that sums up the whole character of Ric Flair,
yep,
in my world.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
And then the other one, Craig, I know we talked about it in our pre-show meetings. I think the dust in the room.
Right. It just got like a real heavy.
Got real heavy. Real heavy. And, mm-hmm, and like, I was having some asthma or something because my voice got cracked a little bit.
Right, yeah.
But
and the dust mites just right in the eye because they kept watering.
But I can't tell you how many times I can watch this clip and how many times we've gone back and watched this clip where it is his retirement match at WrestleMania. He's wrestling Shawn Michaels. And the match is going back and forth. Rick, as always, the consummate seller. Because you listen, if you watch the documentary, you'll listen and you will tell, every wrestler will tell you that when he was in the ring, he was there to sell the match.
Yes, and that he would sell losing. He would make sure you looked good at the end of that match, no matter who won.
No matter who it was, he was wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, when it's the end of the match and you know Shawn Michaels is lining up to drop the super kick, and he looks over and he mouths the words, "I'm sorry, I love you." And he does it, and then he's on the match, and he gets the three count, and he just reaches over and hugs
Rick Flair. I'm getting teary-eyed now.
I think on our road trip, there's some dust in this room, dude. Okay, but, I mean, I watch a lot of the 30 for 30s. I'm a big sports fan, and I like the behind-the-scenes stories and all that stuff, but I got to say, between this one and the XFL.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This one is by far one of the best they have ever done.
I would agree. And I'm going to throw in a third moment, which is when he talks about his son.
Ooh.
And he talks about losing his son, who was going through the wrestling ranks, trying to be a wrestler, trying to be like his dad.
Yeah, there's a lot of dust in the room.
And there's a lot of dust in the room. When he admits, he was like, he's, you know, after talking about his son dying from an overdose of black tar heroin, you know, he says, he wishes, I could have been more of your dad than your friend. And he talks about wanting that, you know, and then how Charlotte, you know, came up and decided, you know, I'm going to take up this mantle of wrestling that my brother couldn't. And I'm going to do this. And then Ric Flair gets teary-eyed talking about how proud he is of how well Charlotte Flair's done.
Absolutely.
And going through it, that he admits, he's like, I am living vicariously through her.
Oh, yeah.
And I love every minute of it. Which is great.
What a great documentary.
Yeah, I agree. It's great.
You know what?
It's beautiful. It gets you in the heart.
I'm feeling a little mellow.
It is.
I don't want to punch you as much.
I'm glad.
I still want to punch you, though.
Well, you know, I can't ask for anything. But you can look on the Take Two website, www.taketwopodcast.com. We'll have a little write-up there, maybe going a little more in-depth. Me and John will tag team the write-up and make it something nice so you can decide whether you want to check it out. But I'm telling you right now, check it out. There's no reason not to.
Yeah, even if you're not a wrestling fan.
No, this is just a great story.
Phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get back into the fertilizer. You want to just I'm trying to be nice, but let's just get back to the shit show that is SmackDown.
All right, let's
because after
down.
The Charlotte match,
right? An amazing match. We both agree.
You got what?
I can't do too much to defend this. All right.
You got what?
We had Chad Gable come out against Jimmy Uso. So my favorite team, the Benjables, come out against the Usos. All right. So that is what I love.
The team you named the Benjables.
Right, the team I named the Benjables. All right, because that's what I can do. I can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
because
you're a SmackDown.
All right.
Loser.
All right, so he comes out, and, you know, to no surprise, I will not admit, Jimmy Uso wins, you know.
At what cost?
That's true. Because you see Chad Gable trying to go for that knee over and over and over again.
If it was a wrestling match between Uso's knee and Gable... Gable would have won.
That is very true. Unfortunately, the rest of Jimmy Uso also had to fight, but
yeah.
If it was just the knee, he was pretty destroying on that knee.
Day one-ish.
Oof.
You got a bottom grill now?
Yeah, that was something,
like,
wasn't it?
Usos, you're trying to bring the thug life in.
Right.
And all you're looking like is chumps.
Right, yeah. I'm not huge into the hip-hop world nowadays in 2017, but I'm pretty sure bottom grills are out. I'm pretty sure that's done with,
I'm
right?
I'm just saying, Usa's got a bottom grill.
You know, that's what happens. Day one-ish, baby.
Day one-ish. We go old school. We're going 90s stuff.
Exactly.
Bottom grill.
Bottom grill, yo. Bottom grill.
So,
and then
once again, your loser teams.
Hey, don't you worry about my teams, all right?
I don't worry about your teams.
Don't you worry about my teams.
Lose to Raw in the Survivor Series. It's easy. I swear, you know what?
Motherfucker. All right.
Shut it. Shut it.
All right.
Look. You know superior when you see it sitting right here.
Wait. My hand goes up. Your mouth goes shut.
You cannot use the Miz line.
I just did. It just happened. Because I got another match to talk about. All right.
Just do it.
All right. We have the New Day versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, which I don't care what you say about how much you hate SmackDown and how much you bleed red for Raw. All right. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn are phenomenal. And I will watch them if they go on to some podunk wrestling TV. They're on Southpaw Wrestling. I will watch them there.
Well, all right. So we've talked about it a couple of episodes now. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, two of our favorites.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I will say this. Zayn, still, reel it in.
Yeah, yeah, he's going a little too far.
Love him in the ring. Yeah, love him in the ring, but the whole everybody's against us and we got to just be us and that kind of thing, he like tries to way oversell it, and I think he needs to rein that in a little bit. But I do agree. I don't think Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are getting the matches they deserve. I mean, being up against the New Day, the unicorn ponies of...
Yes. Well, you know, as they discussed right before the match, talking about the Hounds of Justice.
The Hounds of Justice. Right, that's the Shield, motherfuckers.
They're a bunch of little dogs, and
what?
Dogs eat their shit.
What?
All right? Dogs eat their shit.
And what are unicorns?
Yeah, unicorns, fucking magical.
They bring
magical.
There is no such thing as magic.
All right? There is, and okay. It's called the New Day.
I'm going to bring you to the reality of a raw world
and
let you know there is no magic in the world. Unicorns are not real. There is no things as Skittles flavored rainbows and magical leprechauns jumping around. That was Hornswoggle. He was a wrestler.
All right, let's see. I can either kick your ass for hating on SmackDown, or I can kick your ass for crushing dreams. You can take your pick which one you want.
You know what, bitch tits?
All right.
Bring it.
All right, let's settle down. Let's settle down.
All right? I will come at you.
Because then we can get in. Now we can get into your petty little Raw trying to be like SmackDown.
There is no petty trying. Right? This
and saying
success.
That they're going to, you know, hey, look, SmackDown did it 2 weeks ago. Let's come in and invade them now.
In the middle of New Day's pissant match, what do you hear? The Shield intro.
Right. Coming in, what I think, and if you don't agree with me, I don't even know if we can be friends anymore, the ugliest shirts they've ever had.
Look, you don't take two shirts and stitch them together.
No, you don't.
This is a great idea.
No, you don't, because this is not, because they were just raw-eeled.
Yeah. So, anyway, they come down, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn being the smart ones that they are, leave.
Right. Which, I'll admit, I really enjoyed.
Leave.
They stand there as the Shield searches around the ring, roll out, just walk away.
Yep.
But the New Day, got no fight in this.
The New Day being the dumbass magical unicorn pony wearers that they are.
Because they know magic will protect them from dogs who eat poop.
But it didn't.
Well.
The dogs bit and destroyed. They came in ferocious, vicious, slobber coming down. Rehabetic, if you will.
Rehabetic.
I think I made that word up.
You did, but I'll take it.
But it's a good one.
I'll take it. I mean.
And started beating the asses of the New Day.
Right. And then you had the Usos come out and say, we're not taking this shit. You don't take down our team.
Yeah,
Usos come
because
out.
Because remember, they bros now.
They bros.
New Day and Usos, much respect.
Much respect. Exactly. They come out. All right. It doesn't matter that Roman Reigns is in the Shield.
Crap.
Family don't matter.
Craptacular spectacle right. That was SmackDown.
Sometimes family is more than blood.
So, but what happens,
you know,
is we put things aside, the Bar comes out to hand the Usos their ass.
The Bar.
Did you not see Sheamus just drop Jimmy Uso?
Oh, I did see that. But, you know,
like a steamroller. So what happens? Shane's like, oh, no, not on my show. We'll bring the whole backstage down.
Exactly, the whole backstage.
And what were they met with?
Well, you know.
What were they met with?
Wannabes.
What were they met with?
Wannabes.
And right. Instead of just happening upon the women wrestlers of Raw in the back, no, the Raw female cast came out, found those little bitches, and commenced to lay down the smack, which...
Well, that's because you caught them off guard.
Alexa right? Bliss comes in and drops the queen.
You know,
drops her.
Let's be honest. If Alexa Bliss was by herself, she couldn't have found her way to the locker room, let alone the women's room, let alone the exit, because she's a dumbass.
She is not. She's got a cute butt. She said so. All right? So you need to shut your whore mouth because you have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. This entire thing is Raw just grasping at straws because they know once Sunday comes, they have no chance.
Shut it.
All right? If they can get to SmackDown early, maybe they had a chance.
No, because your whole offense is hoping you can wear out our champion.
That's
with
whatever.
Some little... flipping hair pretty boy who wants to jump around the ring, and all Brock Lesnar needs to do is stand in the middle of the ring and just punch him every time
he jumps.
It's
called agility and endurance, my friend.
It's called
agility.
It's called wishes. And they don't come true because we've already established there's no fucking magic in the world.
This, you're crushing dreams here, all right?
Yeah.
We got kids that listen
reality
to this thing.
Reality.
We got kids.
Santa isn't real.
I think we need to get into Survivor Series now, all right? All right, because I'm already getting upset with you, and if we can hurry up and just get through the Survivor Series, then I won't be as angry with you. When we get done with this, we can go about our separate ways.
All right. How are we going to do this? Are we just going to name the matches, give our predictions, and say why we think this?
I think that's what we can do, even though I think for the majority of them, we're both going to know that SmackDown will win.
Win what?
Everything?
Another chance of being the B show for another
everything?
Year? Absolutely.
I mean,
that's what they get. This, another year of being second best.
I think there's one thing we can agree on, that Raw obviously has been the inferior show for most of 2017.
What the fuck are you talking about?
This is an obvious fact that I think both of us should agree on.
An obvious fact. Your heavyweight champion, Jinder Mahal, wasn't good enough to beat AJ Styles, the little almost cruiserweight?
That's because our heavyweight champion, Jinder Mahal, has an entire country of India behind him. Doesn't even need a belt. All right, he can go over and do his own tour.
He's like, when Brock Lesnar's done with you, I'll come back and get the rest and just win the belt back. I'll show you, little man. Really? That's the best you have to offer? Where's your Braun Strowman? You don't even have a cane.
I swear to God.
Your biggest threat is what? Shane McMahon jumping off a 20-foot cage?
I swear. I will hit you so hard.
You'll hit me so hard? What? Ow!
So hard.
The fuck was
Let's
that?
Let's get started with Survivor Series.
No, get that, you fucker.
All right. Hands down, feet down.
You may have drawn first blood, but this isn't over.
We got some matches.
I'm going to get through this show, and I'm going to kick your ass.
Which, you wish.
There is no wishes. There's no fucking magic. We talk about this.
Wish. I will go under siege all over your fucking face.
Shield, Hound of Justice. I'm number four.
Eat your own poop.
I may eat poop, but I breathe fire, motherfucker. All right? And this fire is going to burn your little ass.
Oh, no. Do I want that? I don't really understand.
It sounded a lot harder in my head than when it came out. So I retract that and bring it back with, I will punch you in the sternum so hard your heart will stop beating for a second.
Ooh.
Heart punch.
I'm scared. Well, let's get into the first match of Survivor Series, which will not anger us because they both include people that are only on Raw.
Yeah.
Enzo Amore and Kalisto. Who do we think is going to win?
Kalisto wins the belt.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think we both have to agree on this. I should be marking this down. Hold on, folks. I'm pulling out paper.
Magic pen.
I'm marking this down.
I call Kalisto.
I think we both call Kalisto for this one.
Yes,
we say they're winning. All right? Then we get into the action. That's the pre-show.
Yeah, that's the opening. Yeah.
So then we get into the actual start of Survivor Series. We have U.S. champ Baron Corbin against Intercontinental champ The Miz.
I'm going The Miz for the simple fact that The Miz is on his game and he's fire and he's awesome. And Baron Corbin can't handle it. Baron Corbin can't even handle the likes of Sin Cara. How is he going to handle The Miz, who is just beyond talented?
I will give you The Miz has the talent, but I feel that Baron Corbin is being pushed so strongly
by
that
who?
He will
Shane
win this
McMahon?
One.
The only thing Shane McMahon is pushing on Baron Corbin is his rear end.
All right, now you're getting a little offensive. All right.
What, that
and I won't take
I'm
this.
I'm saying there may be some prison style love between.
I won't take this because he is a McMahon and you will respect him.
I will not respect him as a McMahon. I will respect Stephanie McMahon because she is a goddess. I will respect Triple H because he is the king of kings. But I will not respect Shane, new shoes, here comes the money McMahon, when he just creates a hashtag and then has all his little lackeys, his all B-grade wrestling lackeys, come out and fight his fights for him.
I mean, all I'm saying is that these B-grade lackeys
the
you
Miz
speak
wins.
Of
The Miz
came
wins.
And
the
attacked Miz your entire show.
Wins. Because
Baron Corbin wins.
Because McMahon is scared.
Baron Corbin wins.
Shane McMahon.
Let's get on to the next fight.
He's pissing his pants because he's afraid of the talent that Raw is.
So then into that, let's get on to the next match. Team SmackDown versus Team Raw.
Male or female?
We're going to go male. Since you're hating on Mr. Shane McMahon. All right.
Listen.
He will be on Team SmackDown. We got Shane McMahon. We got Randy Orton. We got Bobby Roode. We got Shinsuke Nakamura. All right? Yeah. And then the one and only John Cena. All
right, well, cut it out.
Abadu!
Cut it out. Oh, God. Just the sheer fact that you would no-see me makes me just want to rip your little fucking chipmunk cheeks off.
Should I be proud of chipmunk cheeks? I don't know.
I don't know if that's a fat
feature. Got a fat guy thing? Or like an adorable, like a cherub kind of thing?
I don't find you adorable or cheruby. I find you annoying.
I find your face annoying.
I find your love of SmackDown.
All right, let's get into your Team Raw. All
right, led by the one and only Kurt Angle.
Right. Mr. Soap Opera Drama himself. Who can't even speak, so he has to have two people from the McMahon family come out and talk to him.
An Olympic champion. All right.
Whatever.
All right?
All right. I could win one of those if I wanted to.
In what event?
If I wanted to.
Name an event.
Pole vault.
Pole vault.
Mm-hmm.
The pole won't even hold you.
Pole vault. I can win it. If I wanted to. Just don't want to.
Just don't want to.
All right, busy. Got things going on.
Kurt Angle.
Right.
Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Braun Strowman,
yes,
and rounding out the team, Triple H himself.
Right, the grasping at straws desperate move of Triple H.
There is no grasping at straws desperate move. Triple H is a legend. He is amazing. You go out and like, hey, we're going to sign free agent John Cena because, let's be honest, Shane can't handle his business.
Shane can handle everybody's business.
Shane can barely find a jacket that fits.
He's going to run across that rope and just fucking knock down Braun Strowman. Like, he's nothing.
What?
Like, he's nothing.
Black Tar Heroine?
All right. And then John Cena is going to pick up Kurt Angle and break his fucking neck again.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All I need to do is push Braun Strowman in the ring and then watch, Randy Orton try to RKO him?
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen.
It'll happen.
We love the RKO.
We do.
But the men's team is going to come in and destroy your SmackDown team.
All right, here we go. I'm willing to make you a side bet.
Okay.
$1.
$1.
Randy Orton will RKO all five members of Team Raw at some point during the match.
I'll take that bet because he's not going to land an RKO.
Yep.
Nope.
It'll be an RKO at least one time on each of the members.
Nope. Team Raw will win. Simply because Triple H is going to go in there, unleash the power of Braun Strowman, and Triple H is going to land the pedigree on your precious John Cena and teach the world that Cena should do nothing but act and look pretty. Drive his stupid cars on his car show and be the consummate fiancé of one Nikki Bella.
John Cena is a legend. All right. Is a man that you should respect.
You can take your legend.
And you can honor.
And your man that you feel I should respect and honor.
He would be able to back squat
straight up your
Braun
ass.
Braun Strowman times two.
And then
two.
You can back squat your dreams because they are gone.
Swear to God, I'm just looking at your face and all I see is a punch bag right now.
I am looking at your face and all I see is shit. Just a big pile of shit. You're like
Speaking of big pile of shit,
you're
the women's
shit
match.
Emoji.
The women's match.
Let's talk
team
about your
Raw,
horse.
Your big pile of crazy shit.
Let's talk about your horse.
All right? Crazy shit is all it is.
Crazy like a fox.
Crazy like a fucking lunatic.
Did you not see her when they raided the women's dressing room? She took off that fucking hat and she goes, I want blood! And she went in there and just commenced to whoop ass. To the point where, I mean, once again, you have nothing for a Nia Jax. She's going to pick every woman up on your team and eat them like a small snack.
I mean,
the only thing I fear on your little team of whores is...
Did you just call Becky Lynch a whore?
She's not a whore. She's my wife.
Okay.
All mentally.
Right.
All right. I don't... Exclude Becky Lynch. She is in a league of her own.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm. Right. But she's amazing.
Now that you took the only other talent you had on the team, if Charlotte made her a champion and she's got to go against the goddess, which we will talk about later where she's going to lose. But what's going to happen here is that unknown element, what are you going to bring in? You're going to bring in a dude, maybe James Ellsworth?
I mean, he's pretty amazing. He's been kicking women's asses.
No. He's been getting his ass kicked by women to the point where they kicked his ass right out of WWE because he's been released, folks. Our dreams have come true.
I do have to say I'm really happy about that. Look,
for all the hate I have for you right now, I think we can agree. Ellsworth gone is probably God's gift to the wrestling
world. I completely agree. High five. All
right.
So we can agree that we're happy about that. But who knows who this fifth member is going to be? You never know. It's going to be somebody coming out and kicking ass.
Side bet. You ready?
Ready.
You want to know who I'm going to pick?
Go for it.
I think your team is so dumb, they're going to ask, I don't know, some fan in the bleachers, some gap-tooth, smackdown-wearing blue shirt, kind of like, well, you. A piece of shit with no IQ who's just going to be like, you want me to wrestle too? I'm coming.
I will haymaker you in the fucking forehead.
It won't hurt.
It will hurt.
You have the hands...
I'll get you right in the fucking temple.
You have the hands of a baby. They're delicate pillows.
I mean, they're delicate and they're soft, all right? That's because I don't do a lot of manual labor.
Exactly. Right? I can tell by the way you keep the bunker. It's like a shit nest in here.
All right?
Ladies don't love you.
Ladies love the delicate hands.
The only ladies you know are at the counters, and that's when you order extra fries.
Right.
And they love you because you smile at them, and all they see is that greasy sheen from your burger-eating face.
And they give me extra ketchup every fucking time, motherfucker.
Don't you
even. Every time.
Don't you even talk about mothers. Every time. You want to talk about mothers? Your mother's got a wooden leg with a kickstand.
All right. Let's get into tag teams. All right. We have my wonderful... Day one-ish Usos.
With the bottom grill.
The day one-ish Usos.
With the fucked up knee.
All right. I got a couple days. It'll heal. All right.
It'll heal.
Ain't no problem with that. Give him cortisone shots. You'll be good to go.
Yeah.
All right.
Just give him some horse steroids. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
So bottom grill and his...
Right. Team. Against no top grill. The bar.
But come on. Everybody loves the sweetest Superman. All right.
I feel like years ago they decided we're going to at some point bust out your front teeth. So we're going to start calling you the Swedish Superman now. So in a few years when we do and you have to say the Swedish Superman, it would sound funny.
That just shows how stupid you are.
That just shows how dumb Raw is that they're reaching for things like that.
Not at all. It was an unfortunate accident. He's owned it. That's how brilliant Raw is. They have just made you like, oh, I think you're just... They're not fucking with you. That's just awesome. Something happened and they fixed it.
Right, because
that's what we do.
Now their team is somebody with a lisp and somebody with alopecia.
Shut it. My hand went up. You did not shut it.
Ow! Fucker. That's what you did, right in the fucking sternum.
God damn, that hurt.
Just straight punch.
Straight
punch.
Ow.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the match that we know is coming, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The man himself, the WWE champ, AJ Styles, against the Universal champ,
Brock Lesnar.
Right.
How many times is AJ Styles going to Suplex City? As many times as Brock fucking wants. Because you know what's going to happen? AJ's going to try to start flying around, jumping around. Yep. Brock's just going to catch him, slam him. And AJ's whole idea of, oh, just wait him out. He's going to get tired and quit.
Exactly.
Brock don't quit.
Brock quit MMA. He quit MMA.
No, MMA quit Brock.
No, pretty sure he quit them.
No.
He basically quit wrestling.
He was too good for MMA. He was way beyond what wrestling was at the time.
I mean, he shows up for WWE every, quarter, maybe?
That's all he needs to show up for.
You know?
That's all he needs to show up for. You want to know why? Fucking Beast. You don't uncage the Beast whenever you just feel like it. You only uncage it when it's necessary. And what I fear is your desperate grasp at something, any chance SmackDown might even remotely think they have, is in AJ Styles?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you thinking?
Two words.
Lyme disease. Conversation over.
Lyme disease.
Conversation over.
It's over because it just shows your stupidity. You're hoping that a disease will kill him in time.
Conversation over.
Dumbass.
All right. Then we get into the Shield versus the New Day. All
Shield,
right.
Shield, Shield, Shield.
Poop eating dogs.
Shield, Shield,
versus
Shield,
magical
Shield,
unicorns.
Shield, Shield, Shield.
I wonder what they're gonna quilt patch into some shirts this time.
Doesn't matter. What rainbow fruity pebble shirt are you gonna wear?
They're gonna wear something awesome.
What?
Just like they always do. Have the greatest entrance in history.
No, they do the same thing. Oh, wherever we are, don't you dare be sour.
Right.
Because that's all Big E can say.
And it's fucking amazing. Every time.
Your muscle
every time
likes to lick his hand and then touch another man's ass.
Yep.
It's weird.
No, because it makes them feel demeaned. Right?
No, it just makes Big E look like he's weird. Listen.
You need to settle down.
The Shield's going to come down from the stands. They're going to surround the ring and do just what they did last night on SmackDown and beat the ass of New Day.
All right, first of all, you're just lying through your teeth now. Everybody knows it. I know it. You know it. The fans know it. All right? Everybody knows it.
What?
All right?
What? So I'm just looking around. Just, no. Just, no. The truth is out there, and you refuse to see it.
The truth is unicorn fucking magic is the truth.
There is no fucking magic, you dumb bastard. Ow!
Yep.
Like, if you're going to keep slapping me, it's just annoying more than anything else.
Lyme disease.
That's what you right, get.
That hurt.
That's what you get.
That hurt. All right, we got one more match to discuss. All right, and then I can be done looking at your stupid fucking face.
God.
All right.
One
more match.
What?
The women's match. The beautiful, the illustrious, the queen, Charlotte Flair, against, I don't
the
know,
goddess.
The dumbest woman on the planet?
No, she's got the cutest butt, she told me.
I mean, I did hear that, you know, but she's no Charlotte Flair. She is no Charlotte Flair.
I can't defend this.
All right?
I can't defend this for the simple fact that...
Woo!
Stop it. Don't you incite the power of Flair.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa Bliss.
Woo!
Stop it. One more time, you're getting right to your fat gut. Just one big boot right to your fat gut. You gonna...
What?
Stop.
No. Did you have something to say?
What does an idiot say?
Nothing.
Don't you dare worry. Let me make my point. Got it?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
All right. Alexa Bliss
mm-hmm.
is a goddess.
Right.
And...
Woo!
Fucking it!
That's it!
It! Over! God damn!
All right.
Stop it! Ow! Stop right here! Get off my nose! Not my nose! Watch the hair and face! Alright, listen, let's agree. Not the faces. Alright? Straight to the sternum! Ah! You're too big! Ow! Ow! Get off my fingers! No! No Indian burns! That's illegal! Marcus of Queensberry rules here! Fisticuffs!
Fisticuffs only!
I will punch you so hard. Come on!